This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Doug Tribou. Everybody's talking about it a day after the National Football League handed down penalties to the New England Patriots and slapped quarterback Tom Brady with a four-game suspension. People are asking how the star quarterback and his championship team could have played this one so poorly.
Of course, we're talking about the fallout from the Deflategate scandal, revelations that Tom Brady probably knew about a scheme to supply him with underinflated footballs before last January's AFC Championship game against Indianapolis. In addition to his suspension, the NFL fined the team $1 million and took away two of the Patriots' upcoming draft picks.
Reactions to the penalties run the gamut. Many football fans beyond New England say they're evidence that the Patriots are cheaters and have been for a long time.
But here in Boston, not surprisingly, many Patriots fans say the penalties are too harsh.
It's harsh. I mean, four games for that? I just don't understand it.
It could throw up the whole season.
Game five is against the Indianapolis Colts, who are the whistleblowers in this, so I'm ready for Brady to kick some butt in that game. Hope he overinflates the balls and whips them right at the secondary.
There are a lot of people that have issue with the way the Patriots play or win games, and I just think it worked out well for the NFL to hand down a punishment that will sort of put all the other teams on notice.
That was Kim Cohen, Mike Rober, Jordan Hawley, and Justin Rathbone speaking at WBUR's Kurt Nickisch last night in Boston. And Doug, you've been looking into this story closely, so help us understand some of the details of the penalties. First, let's talk about Tom Brady, the Super Bowl MVP, could miss four games at the start of next season. Why did the NFL come down so hard on him?
Well, in the statement that the NFL released announcing the penalties, Roger Goodell mentioned the integrity of the game and the importance of that. And also, I think you're looking at some residual effects here. You've got the Patriots who were penalized years ago for Spygate. So this is a franchise that was sort of on alert or should have been on alert about this sort of thing. And also, although some of the things in the report focus on regular season activity, you're talking about the AFC Championship game, you know, the second biggest stage heading into the Super Bowl, and that only adds to the impact here, I think.
Sure, but a four-game suspension, that is a quarter of the season. So how does that compare to some other recent sanctions handed down by the NFL?
Well, I think regardless of how people feel about the Patriots suspension, it's safe to say it is very hard to judge what the NFL is going to do in a given case. Of course, Ray Rice, who knocked out his fiance in a casino elevator, began with a two-game suspension, ended up suspended indefinitely. Then that was waived off. So then you have Adrian Peterson, who was involved in a case where he hit his young child with a switch. He was suspended with pay, or not really suspended, on the commissioner's exempt list. Then they tried to suspend him. Then that was overturned on appeal. Greg Hardy, another domestic abuse case, he is suspended for 10 games. There's a real sort of range here, and it's difficult to say where this should fall.
So far, no word from Tom Brady, but we have heard from his agent. What did he say?
Well, he right up at the front of his statement that he released to the press called the discipline action ridiculous and said that it has, quote, no legitimate basis. Don Yee is Brady's agent. He announced that they will be appealing and they believe that the Wells report will be, quote, exposed as an incredibly frail exercise in fact-finding and logic.
All right. So now the NFL is also punishing the Patriots with a $1 million fine, taking away two draft picks. Explain the significance of that. What are the Patriots actually losing here?
Well, they're losing their first-round draft pick next year, and that's high value in the NFL. You can have great picks well into the NFL draft. There's a reason it starts on Thursday and ends on Sunday. So the Patriots will lose a prime player or a pick that they might deal for multiple picks. So there's definitely some loss there. And then another pick, a later-round pick, in the following season. So that just is a dig at the personnel. It just hurts their abilities to make adjustments year to year, which is critical in the NFL.
Sure. Now, Doug, as you mentioned, the NFL says they're taking this action against Brady and the Patriots to protect the integrity of the game. Are you surprised at all about the severity of these sanctions? Because they do seem pretty serious.
I am a little bit. I was predicting two games and then there'd be an appeal and maybe Tom Brady would miss the first game. And so we don't know what will happen on appeal, but four is more than I was expecting, especially given that we've got the Super Bowl MVP. I think that bears repeating. You could have the MVP of the biggest sporting event in America missing a quarter of the next season. That's sort of almost unfathomable.
Yeah, it's a big deal. Listeners, we want to hear from you on this. What do you think of Tom Brady's four-game suspension? Too harsh? Or is the NFL justified in its efforts to protect the integrity of the sport? Will Deflategate leave a lasting black mark on the reputations of the Patriots, on Tom Brady, on the NFL? Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We're also on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston.
And joining us now in the studio is Shira Springer. She's an enterprise reporter for the sports section of the Boston Globe. Hi, Shira.
Hello.
And on the line with us is Zach Kiefer. He's the Indianapolis Colts beat writer for the Indianapolis Star. Zach, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me.
I'd like to get your initial reactions to the punishment handed down to Tom Brady specifically. Fair, unfair, too lenient? Shira, let's start with you.
I thought it was awfully harsh. And while I was not surprised, because I thought there was a lot of back behind the scenes politics, I think Goodell had to show that he was not going to take it easy on his friend Robert Kraft, or perhaps his former friend Robert Kraft. And he was also not going to take it easy on the Patriots. I was surprised in the sense that it was an awful lot, the four games plus the $1 million plus the two draft picks.
And Zach, how about you? What's your view of it?
Yeah, I'm going to agree with that last statement. I think a lot of people in Indianapolis, though, were clamoring for a harsher punishment, especially for Brady. A lot of the word here was 6 to 8 games. That would have been extremely harsh. I still think 4 was fair. But the bottom line is, without a smoking gun, without direct evidence, the Wells report obviously used the wordage more than probably not and more than generally aware. Taking all that into consideration, that there was not direct evidence of Brady doing anything illegal, it is extremely harsh, in my opinion.
So, Zach, I want to pick up on the reaction in Indianapolis. Obviously, we're here in New England. Can you tell us a little bit more about how people have been viewing Deflategate as this has unfolded?
Yeah. And I don't think anybody in Indianapolis or Indiana wants to misconstrue this as if those balls were properly inflated, the Colts would have had a chance in this game. They got their butts kicked. That was absolutely unquestionable. The Patriots were the better team that day. But this goes into the entire Spygate thing from a couple of years ago. The impression in Indianapolis is that the Patriots are cheaters. They've been caught twice now. They've been fined a total of $1.75 million, which is enormous. They were hit yesterday with the $1 million team fine, which is the biggest in NFL history. Their coach has been caught. Now their quarterback has been caught. Yeah, they're a great team, and they have Super Bowls to their name. But absolutely, this is a stain on their legacy. They've been pushing the rules for years, and now they've been caught twice.
Shira, I want to turn back to you. Today, the state attorney general here in Massachusetts, Maura Healey, spoke about this situation, and she basically said that the NFL is saying that deflated footballs are more important than domestic violence, and she thinks the league's priorities are out of line. Do you agree with that?
I absolutely agree with her. I think it's a little bit disconcerting, to say the least, to have a 243-page report, the Wells report, about deflated footballs and what crime did or didn't take place there, and to not have the same attention paid to issues of domestic violence. There are also other issues, you know, whether it's players who have a history of domestic violence, players who have a history of drug use, you know, whatever criminal activity in players' backgrounds, there's a real big issue with that in the NFL, not to mention issues with player safety and concussions that are coming to the fore, have been at the fore for a while. All of that, in my opinion, should get more attention and, quite frankly, more press coverage than deflated footballs. And I don't think that's a New England opinion. I think you can look at, I think, Senate Minority Leader Harry Reid came out with a tweet today where he talked about, I think the tweet was something like, "I find it stunning that the NFL cares more about how much air is in a football than it cares about a racist franchise name." And that was, again, a reference to the Washington Redskins and their name. And it's the whole sum there being that the NFL has its priorities out of whack.
Well, and it's no secret that Roger Goodell Goodell is close with Robert Kraft. Of course, Robert Kraft, a longstanding and very successful owner in the NFL, and Roger Goodell works for him in part. How do you think that relationship has factored into this decision?
Yeah, I think that factored in big time, and that was sort of what I was alluding to before with all of the behind-the-scenes politics. It's sort of no good deed goes unpunished in some ways, because way back in the fall, it seems way back when the Ray Rice issue was coming to the fore and people were very critical about the two-game suspension handed down to Ray Rice initially, Kraft was one of the early and most outspoken defenders of Roger Goodell. People were calling for the commissioner's job, and Robert Kraft was getting on national TV and voicing his support for the commissioner. And it's well known that they had a very, very tight relationship, and that Kraft was one of the go-to owners for Goodell to get things done. And I think Goodell worried publicly if he came down too leniently on the Patriots, that it would be perceived that his friendship with Robert Kraft got in the way. So in some senses, I think that the harsh punishment was a result of Goodell not wanting to seem too biased toward Kraft. I also think it's a case of timing. Goodell doesn't want to be caught on the short side again with a punishment, so he's going to perhaps overpunish, or the people who are in the league are going to overpunish rather than underpunish.
That's Shira Springer. She's with the Boston Globe. We're also joined by Zach Kiefer from Indianapolis. He covers the Colts for the Indianapolis Star. Ted Wells, who led the investigation, just spoke about an hour ago, and during a conference call today, he said that Tom Brady was cooperative in answering all of his questions, but Brady wouldn't turn over his phone, which could have held key evidence. Let's hear a little bit from Mr. Wells.
I want to be crystal clear. I told Mr. Brady and his agents I was willing not to take possession of the phone. I said, I don't want to see any private information. I said, you keep the phone. You, the agent, Mr. Yee, you can look at the phone. You give me documents that are responsive to this investigation, and I will take your word that you have given me what's responsive. And they still refused.
Again, that's attorney Ted Wells, who was the lead investigator in the Deflategate scandal. I want to turn to you, Zach. You were talking about the investigation and some possible holes in it. What's your reaction hearing what Ted Wells had to say there?
Yeah, I think it's obvious that Tom Brady's hiding something. You know, if not, why wouldn't he just provide whatever information Ted Wells wanted? What most conspicuous to me was, you know, the fact that he hadn't talked to these two guys, these two Patriots equipment managers that are, you know, have been caught red-handed and that are in the middle of this. He had not talked to them in 6 months before that weekend. And then after the game and when this story started to surface late Sunday night, he had six phone calls with them, and they started to text message with them. That tells me right there he was caught with his hand in the cookie jar, didn't want to give up the goods. To the extent, we don't know, but it does seem like to me that there's more that he wouldn't tell, and there's obviously a reason, because you know, if he wasn't hiding anything, he would have given up his phone.
Our number is 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Listeners, we want to hear from you. You can also share your comments on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. Jill is calling from Bradford. Jill, you're on Radio Boston. Welcome.
Hi. Thanks for listening to me.
Sure.
I'm a professor of the history of the Constitution. I teach civil rights and civil liberties. And one thing that strikes me about this particular case, and I have, you know, there's no love lost between me and Tom Brady. I'm a 49ers girl. But where is due process in this? I don't know of a court in the land that would convict anyone based on a statement like, he probably knew. That's, you know, there doesn't seem to be any definitive proof or any definitive guilt proven. And if we're talking about an individual's civil rights with, you know, it, with regard to employment and things like that, I think Tom Brady would have a pretty good case here in saying that, you know, his reputation is being tarnished, his right to work maybe is being hindered on something that has no legal basis that anyone can find.
Well, thanks for the call, Jill. Shira, I want to turn that thought to you. What's your reaction to Jill's point there?
I think Tom Brady probably does have a very good case. At least that's what his agent, Don Yee, thinks, because Don Yee is going to appeal this as far as he can. And we actually may see at the end of this, this case, this matter, make its way into the actual court system, where circumstantial evidence like this, I don't think, is enough to convict a player. I do think Brady has a good case, and it'll be interesting to see how the actual legal system, if it gets that far, if it goes beyond an arbitrator, handles this matter.
It's an interesting thought, though, Shira, because if it does come to that, of course, Tom Brady would be subject to the laws of discovery and all sorts of things, and that might land him in deeper water, into the quicksand of the legal system, if you will.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how Don Yee plays it, but it's been very curious, I guess is the right word, to see how outspoken his agent has been about the level of cooperation that Tom Brady provided and their willingness to do X, Y, and Z in the investigation. And the agent's contention that there wasn't an independent review. I mean, Don Yee has really been as out front as you can get post-Wells report about the innocence of his client. And I don't think you go out on that ledge if you feel you have a very good legal leg to stand on.
Our number again is 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Jeanette is calling from Andover. Jeanette, welcome to Radio Boston.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just have a couple of quick points. As far as the four-game suspension, Ben Roethlisberger of the Pittsburgh Pirates ended up with a four-game suspension after it was brought down from six after his appeal, and that was for sexually assaulting two separate women. Granted, he never went to court in these cases.
Right, he wasn't charged in either of those cases.
Exactly,
that's right.
Exactly. But where's the outrage, first of all, with the sports pundits, who have barely mentioned this fact about Ray Rice and about... but anyway, my second point is that the second part of his report, of Mr. Wells' report, linked the 07 Spygate case to this case with Tom Brady. Tom Brady had nothing to do with that case, and I think this... Why didn't he give harsher penalties to the team as a whole, as a makeup, so to speak? It seems that this is what Roger Goodell and the NFL wants to do, rather than have it fall on Brady, who had nothing to do with that. I'll take my answers off. Thank you.
Thanks, Jeanette. And so Jeanette is referencing Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger, who was initially suspended in 2010 for six games, reduced to four, as she described. But also, I think what we're talking about here is the idea that the Patriots are sort of prior offenders. Shira, what's your response to that?
Yeah, I think it's interesting that, yes, they are repeat offenders. That is clearly how Ted Wells and the league and its punishment viewed the Patriots. I'm not so sure that's fair to the Patriots in this instance. We're talking about two very different things. One was videotaping, and this was related to the deflation of balls. I understand that the NFL views it under the umbrella of integrity of the game, but I believe it was 7 years apart, the two quote-unquote alleged crimes that took place. It seems that there are other teams that we're hearing of reports, other teams that are pushing the rules, using gamesmanship, cheating, however you want to define it, that don't get caught, that there are probably a bunch of violations that other teams have committed that and they haven't been caught. I'm not in favor of Spygate being used to extend or compound the punishment that the Patriots are getting for Deflategate.
Zach Kiefer of the Indianapolis Star, as we've heard during the course of this Deflategate case, you know, other teams have talked about how balls are treated differently, how they've worked up the footballs. Do you have a sense that this will be sort of a warning signal around the league to really tighten up the ship on all these kinds of borderline efforts to get around the rules?
Oh, absolutely. I think every starting quarterback in the NFL, as soon as this happened, is going to make absolutely certain that their footballs are inflated above 12.5, and they're not even close to the line. But, you know, another thing, kind of to piggyback off on a previous point, when it comes to domestic violence and all these different issues that the NFL has gotten wrong in terms of suspensions in the last couple of years, you know, predicting the length of suspension is almost, it's just a fruitless endeavor because they have been so up and down with these things. We're talking about two games for Ray Rice last year, and then four for Tom Brady. And then, you know, even if you go back a little bit further, Terrell Pryor, the former Ohio State quarterback, was suspended for 5 games before he even played in the NFL for taking tattoos while in college. So how do you equate all those different transgressions? How do you make the suspensions fair? It's almost an impossible science. But the one thing that jumps out when you guys discuss Spygate, Deflategate, how they play into each other, and whether the first had an impact on the second suspension, these are both violations of the integrity of the game. Those are the words the NFL used yesterday. I think that's really important. The fans expect a level playing field. That's what Ryan Grigson, the Colts general manager, expected when he emailed the league before the game to say, hey, you know, we've got footballs from the Patriots that we intercepted from a November game. They weren't inflated correctly. We just want to make sure all the footballs are properly inflated before the game. You know, amazingly, that didn't happen. The NFL didn't even check before the game. The Patriots were still able to play with underinflated footballs. So I think when Roger Goodell considered everything, the integrity of the game was most important to him, and that's why the punishment was so severe.
That's Zach Kiefer from the Indianapolis Star. He covers the Colts. We're also joined by Shira Springer of the Boston Globe. Shira, as we look at this in the big picture, you know, there's so many issues because of all these domestic violence cases. There's so many off-the-field issues, on-the-field issues. What does it say about us as sports fans, as a society, about how we're sort of wrapped up in all of this as one big swirling mess?
Yeah, I wish we were, you know, as a previous caller said, more wrapped up in the domestic violence issues. I think it says that we're paying so much attention to Deflategate, and it's had a news cycle that has lasted now about a week from the announcement of the Wells report now to the punishment. I'm sure it will go on throughout the summer as the appeals process takes place and perhaps the arbitration takes place. I think, unfortunately, this is a simple problem to discuss, whereas domestic violence and drug use and concussions are far more complicated. I wish we would go deeper and delve deeper into those complicated issues and think about solutions and think as carefully and as thoroughly about those issues as we are thinking about football pressure.
Quick prediction. How many games does Tom Brady serve?
2. I think it's appealed down to 2.
Same question to you, Zach. Does Tom Brady sit out 4 games?
No, I would agree. I would say he sits out 2 to 3 games, which does take a little bit out of the drama for the first game back, which would be right now, that October 18th game in Indianapolis.
That's Zach Kiefer, Indianapolis Colts beat writer for the Indy Star. Zach, thanks for speaking with us.
Absolutely happy to join.
And Shira Springer is an enterprise reporter for the sports section of the Boston Globe. Shira, thanks to you as well.
Thanks for having me.
And stay with us. Coming up, Tommy Gunn Winter, the true story of a criminal gang, a bank robbery, a murder, and the trial that shocked Depression-era Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Doug Tribou. This is Radio Boston.